Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love to all. Thank you and welcome to the Initiative Radio Network. This is Who Did It to You Roundtable with Dr. Jones, Brother Maurice as the moderator, and of course, Sister Pamela, myself. Thank you again. Tonight we have, of course, some great, great hot topics. But first of all, let me bring in my co-host. Let me see who's here. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Maurice. How are you?
Well, assalam. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Our other half hasn't got here quite yet, but hopefully he will get here. So with that, we have, as I stated earlier, some great topics. We have, see, we're going to run through one or two of them. We have a 4-year-old baby girl came home with crack cocaine. We have a 60-year-old man who was accused of murder, but now he is free. So we're going to go over those. And also Dr. Jones, we have a couple of his that we will get into, and whatever Brother Maurice would like to discuss. We also have, kidding topics that I think. But with that, we're going to start off with this particular story. A white realtor fired for trying to stop a black man from entering his own luxurious condo. This happened, I heard it a couple of days ago, in Missouri, St. Louis. A white woman who works as a realtor in a luxurious apartment has been terminated from her job after a video of her confronting and blocking an African-American man from entering his loft went viral online. The woman said she felt uncomfortable, so she had to demand proof that he really lives there. In the video uploaded on Facebook, toes can be heard asking the woman to please move, but she kept crushing him. If he lives there, what unit, she said, she would not get out of the way because she felt uncomfortable. She even followed Toles on the way to the front door of his apartment. Quote, I was kind of blown away, shocked, and like, wow, she said. I'm just glad I had my camera out. If I did not have my camera out, I fear it could have gone a totally different way. Toast also posted the video on his Facebook account. The video has been viewed over 6 million times and shared more than 140,000 times. Now, Toast also shared that police came to the unit after the incident that night because the woman called, but the police left without giving anyone citation. The woman identified as Hillary Brooke Mueller has been fired from her job because of her behavior. Tripeca Rusty's apartment. Her employee said they were disturbed by the incident caught on the video. They confirmed she was the employee, but the incident happened in a different apartment. The Tribeca family is a minority-owned company that consists of employees and residents from many racial backgrounds, it said in a statement. We are proud of this fact and do not and never will stand for such behavior. Meanwhile, Toast is not considering firing a complaint against the woman, and he wishes her the best. I'm not mad at her. I'm not upset with her. I'm not going to go after her legally or anything like that, Toast said. And that's the end of that story. Wow. It doesn't surprise me at all. Here this black man, entering into a luxurious apartment, and this white woman who takes it upon herself starts to follow him, harass him, et cetera, because she is black, she feels that he doesn't belong there. Personally, I would have sued her because she has no business doing that. And to teach her a lesson, who in the hell does she think she is? But that is my opinion. And with that, Brother Maurice, what are your thoughts on this?
When I first saw the video, I thought he was playing around at first. I didn't think it was real. I thought she was just playing. And then, you know, and I'm listening to her, she's sounding more flirtatious than anything. You know, and so, you know, I'm sitting there listening, and I'm like, so is, you know, what's going on? What's really going on here? And, you know, I really didn't get the full aspect until he was going into his apartment, because I really felt like she was being more flirtatious. And then come to find out that her husband, even though they're separated, is black. Her husband is black.
Okay.
Yeah. And his girlfriend is white.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was out there, and the way you, when you're listening to her talk, you know, it, for me, that's why I definitely thought she was being more flirtatious than anything.
Right.
You know, and the way he was talking to her, you know, it, it just didn't seem to have that, you know, I'm going to call the police type, you know, type
right.
of thing to her. And so now there's pictures of him and her together. There's pictures of them two together at some
together.
Type of event. Yes, together
okay.
at some event.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, this one, nah.
Wow. Okay, because I did, you know, use it kind of more confrontational, emotional when those type of things go on. But as you said, they were very, very calm, you know, both of them really. You know, she's like, you're not coming in here. You know, it did kind of seem like a little game being played at first.
Yeah.
Until, you know, and then, you know, I heard that, you know, it just really happened. You know, this was a real, true life accident. But as you said, he was so calm about it when I saw him, you know, being interviewed on the news. And, you know, at first I couldn't believe it was happening to me. I'm like, what happened to you? Because you wasn't really emotional at all. You know, he really wasn't, you know, like, get the hell out. No, you know, we go to the, get the hell out of my way. You know, this is my problem. You have
exactly.
no right. You know, you're right. You know,
exactly.
you know, you're right. He did not say that, so he's just, like, so calm and cool and collected to it. I'm like, what is really going on? And then when he stated further that he doesn't intend to sue or anything like that, he wishes basically the best. And then, you know, now you're enlightening us that basically they are buddies in a sense now. So, oh, my God, really. Right. So, you know, to me, just, it's crazy, and it doesn't. It may influence people to act, you know, to do this again, you know, without any, you know, any consequences. You know, she. Right. So it's crazy, but with that, hey, wow.
Yeah. And
yeah, it is. It is. It really is. You know, it's a serious thing, but yet they make it, you know, like it's nothing, you know. And like I said, when serious issues do come into play, you know, people may get hurt, injured, et cetera, because luckily that he had a calm spirit, you know, and most of us can't find it. Not these days. So that one, she's like, she's like that, should I say. Yes, sir.
Exactly. And, you know, dealing with the one where the white woman said the little boy sexually assaulted her. You see that one?
No, I didn't. I didn't see that one.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. In New York, this little, I think it was, it looked like it was New York, that this white woman said that the little child, I think he was like 18 years old. I mean, not 18, 8. He was 8 years old. And,
8 years a baby.
Eight years old. And she claimed he sexually assaulted her and called the damn police. The baby is there crying. You hear the baby crying. Oh, you know, because she, sexually assaulted me. You know, it's like, what in the world? Yes.
Right.
Well,
oh,
8 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Sexually assaulted. And then they, from what I heard, I didn't see this interview, but from what I heard, they interviewed the child, and the child is talking some, you know, can't we get along foolishness. You know, it is like somebody coach that child and say that bullshit.
Exactly. Wow. That's ridiculous. I mean, where's his guardian, his parent, somebody? Excuse me, speak up against some foolishness and to get her arrested or, you know, take some type of legal action on her for such absurd and derogatory, you know, allegations against that baby. It's ridiculous the way we, you know, it's just ridiculous the way we are so cowardly these days. It just, I have no, I'm just speechless. But I did. I saw the video, but I didn't really, you know. I know she was like, hollering and doing something, but I was doing something at the time. But I didn't have any idea she was accusing a 8 year old baby of harassing her. So, oh my God, great.
Yeah. And they looked at the video, and the little boy never touched her. Never touched her.
That's
ridiculous.
Right. It's coming out in all sorts of ways against us, even at our babies, and we just sitting back and doing nothing about it. It's ridiculous. So with that, we're gonna go on to our next story, which does involve a child. A 4-year-old girl brings home crack cocaine she got from daycare. Bronx, New York. A 4-year-old girl named Serenity tested positive for crack cocaine that she brought home from her daycare in New York City. Sabrina Stroker, the girl's mother, was shocked when her daughter told her that she put a capsule of the drug in her mouth. Disappointed, Stroker wants the daycare closed. Wow. Exactly. On Friday, Serenity went home from Little Adventure Child Care, unusually acting hyper and with capsules in her hand. Stroker said she told her that another kid and the daycare gave her his teeth, but when she looked at the capsule, she knew something was wrong. Joker, which is the mother, immediately went to the local precinct to bring the capsule. After running some tests, narcotics detectives confirmed that the capsules were actually crack cocaine. Serenity was rushed to the hospital, where she tested positive for the drug. Serenity had put one of the capsules in her mouth, but thankfully she spat it out. She could have died if she ingested this, Stroker, the mother, told Pix News. I was furious. Richard Adventures Child Care Director Yvette Joseph said someone allegedly threw the capsules over the fence and one of the kids picked it up. We checked our center thoroughly and all of the children are safe, Joseph said. Police are not investigating the incident, which they consider an endangering the welfare of the child case. They are looking at all angles, including the family of the child who handed the Jets lost to Serenity. Meanwhile, Stroker, her mother, wants the daycare closed, saying that they were not watching the children thoroughly. No one was watching the children, she said. There are 15 kids in the room with two teachers and two aides. Where were they when this was going on? That's a great question. Where were they? And now their child, you know, could have been killed, but I guess the capsule was probably a bit unpleasant taste to her, and she spat it out. But whether she had ingested or held it in her mouth just a little longer, you know, she could have been very injured or dead, nevertheless. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Taking your baby there to be taken care of, and yet, you know, she's about to be OD'd on cocaine and capsules that the adults, we should be, you know, protecting them, not even paying any attention. And it's ridiculous. We have to do better. We have to do better. It's no excuse. Yes, sir. And your take on this, Brother Maurice? Brother Maurice, are you there?
Yeah, that's way beyond unacceptable. I mean, you know, nobody couldn't have been watching those children for that to happen. Nobody was watching those children. And that's a shame. And I don't know how much daycare costs, but I can imagine it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap.
Mm-mm. It's not. Wow. Mm. And it was not, right, four adults, two teachers and two aides, you know, to take care of the children. And yet you're not. And, you know, you have to really look at these babies. I mean, they're 4 years old, and they're so intelligent, and they're very active. So that's your job. If you can't handle it, then get out of it, because you are over people's lives, and particularly children. And they're just too thin. Right. So I think definitely claim someone threw it over the fence. I don't care where it came from. You should have been there with that child. No child should be left alone at that age, and they're just the truth of it. You know, right. So I'd be curious to know what becomes of this daycare, et cetera. But then again, I just don't know. It's in Bronx, New York, and I have to look at exactly where it's located, but it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't even temporarily close the daycare?
No, not no sir. Not as of yet. They should have it. Right. And the mother, of course, it says she's furious. And she should be. She has every right to be furious. Right, but the detectives or whatever just looking into it. But of course, if it's black owned and that type of thing, of course it's gonna be a slow movement to the answers anyway. So they're just a given. Keep it real in America, but we have to do better ourselves. You know, we can't put everything on others. We have responsibilities. And some of us are dropping the ball too much and constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. And so we have to be accountable for what we do. And they need to be shut down, closed down, period.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes, sir, sir.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, it's a deal. And she just, luckily, she spread it out, but she put it in her mouth. And so she didn't know what it was, because I'm sure it was white. She called it pink. You know, the girl called it. She said, the little boy gave her some pink. And so, wow. So with that, yes, sir. Let me see if our co-host is here. I texted him earlier, but perhaps he's busy tonight. So hopefully our brother will get on in a bit here. But in the meantime, yes, sir, let's see what else we have. Oh, I know we have another very interesting story. See, I think, okay, let's go to this one. A 60-year-old man falsely accused of murder, finally freed from prison after 20 years. And I don't know how many times I've heard these stories where someone was in prison and, or in prison for such a long time, but in actuality, you know, he was found not guilty, or, you know, just sentenced, you know, barking up jobs, so they didn't do the job correctly or investigate anything. They just, hey, that's a black man, let's throw him in jail today. You know, sometimes that's what the case is. But nevertheless, I just wonder, after 60 years old and been in jail for 20 years, it's like you've been there since 40 years old in the prime of your life. So with that, let's continue this story. Yes, sir. Riverside, California. Horace Roberts, an African-American man from California, was framed for murder of his lover, has been fully exonerated after new evidence proved him innocent. Horace Roberts, an African-American man from California, was framed. Yes, he's been now recently exonerated. Recent DNA testing of evidence found on the crime scene pointed to two suspects responsible for the murder. The victim's husband and nephew, meanwhile, new arrests have been made, and Robert finally gets to, excuse me, computer's crazy, finally gets to enjoy freedom after spending 20 years in prison. On April 1998, police found a woman identified as Terry Yvette Cheek, strangled and lying on the lake shore. Found nearby was a pickup truck abandoned on the side of California's 115 in Riverside County. Initially, the investigators led to Cheek's lover and co-worker, Horace Roberts, who was the owner of the truck. A wristwatch found in the crime scene was believed to be his. Roberts was convicted of a second-degree murder in 1999 and was sentenced to 15 years to life. But years later, the California Innocent Project found that the wristwatch wasn't Roberts, and he wasn't the one driving the truck. New evidence from the DNA testing connected Cheek's husband, Juki Harris, and Harris' nephew, Jaquan Leo, to the crime. Harris, now age 52, and Leo, now age 52, had been arrested in the case and had been held on murder charges in lieu of $1 million bail. Justin Brook, director of the California Innocent Project, said Roberts was a victim of a setup by Cheek's jealous husband, Harris. He told the Washington Post, I guess Harris was getting the ultimate revenge, first setting him up for the crime, then making sure he gets put away for life, then going to his parole hearings to make sure he stays there. Brian Sussman, the retired Riverside County prosecutor who tried Roberts for murder three times was remorseful. He said, quote, "I thought we were doing the right thing. I am sorry from the bottom of my heart. It should have never happened." Roberts has been out of prison since October the 3rd. He is now in South Carolina with his family, including his wife, who was with him despite the trials, and his three children, who are not adults. The California Innocent Project welcomed Robert as he stepped out of jail. They recorded a video as he freely walked out as a free man. Okay. Excuse me, I lost my train. Okay, as he freely walked out and tossed his prison clothes into the trash can. And as he finally sipped soda in the back seat of the car. "This is what I love most. This is what I miss more than anything is my freedom," Robert continually said. And that's the end of that. Wow. Well, praise God, he got out. And that's wonderful. But it's also a lesson in that. Don't mess around with someone and they're married. Obviously, he was married too. And because the husband set him up. And they, you know, and say his wife is still with him. Oh, do that after 20 years? Oh, my God. Are you joking? I'm just saying. That's a long time to hold on. And, you know, that they found out that it was the husband of his lover and the nephew that, you know, killed her. And say Harris, who was the husband, was caught and made sure that, you know, I guess he would get the sentence to keep him there, you know, for a lifetime. But by a lot of grace, you know, after 20 years, he has been released. Get that. Wow.
20 years is a long damn term.
Yes, it is. And you can never get those years back. And they're just too good. No way. No, sir. You can't. I know. And you just have to go on from where you are and trying to make the most of what you, you know, what your days may be ahead. I didn't say anything about someone. I didn't say, I guess, he's not going to get a dime, evidently.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It didn't say anything about compensation for being in jail that long. Yes, yes. That's awful.
You know, I've always said that I believe the white woman is more dangerous than the white male is. And, you know, for whatever reason it is, we don't learn to leave these people alone. You know, you have the new, where this young man, college student, on the football team, two white girls wanted to do a threesome. They went up to his room, did the threesome. Next thing you know, now charged with rape of two white girls.
Wow.
They charged with rape of two white girls because they wanted to do the damn threesome. And his dumb ass went along with him and did it. And then they daddy found out, oh, I know you didn't go have sex with this nigga freely. He had to rape you. Oh, yeah, daddy, he raped me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
The weather. They were evidently so-called underage. Am I right?
Mm-mm. They were all age appropriate. All of them was in college.
Oh,
they
my
were
God.
All in college,
what?
So they were age appropriate.
And, I mean, what's the so-called proof that he raped them?
None.
I thought maybe that's why they got him, because they were... And age, but they wasn't even on age, so therefore it should have been he said, she said, against, you know, but that's no evidence. And no fourth entry, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
yep.
This a recent story, or a couple of years
yeah.
ago, or?
No, this recent, this year. Yeah,
oh, my God.
The other day. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. This messes right up.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, it wants those white girls and just don't keep it real. Well,
yeah.
Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they're going to pay for it. They're going to
yeah,
pay
yeah.
for it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They can keep that piece. Ain't that much one and some in the world. You can keep that piece right with you.
I don't understand. I'll have to leak that. Definitely going to have to leak that one up and read that for myself. That's ridiculous, but it doesn't surprise me because we are so with our heads in their clouds or our backsides. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, no matter what it seems like, the reality, we just don't, we don't seem to comprehend. And it's madness, but it's the truth. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another, yes, go ahead.
And it boils down to not that they too much can't comprehend, but they don't
mm-hmm.
care. They don't care. They think that they're something special because you in college or you playing football,
mm-hmm.
so you don't, your
mm-hmm.
shit don't
mm-hmm.
apply. You know,
right.
But that's not the case. That's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah,
because
yeah.
you playing
mm-hmm.
football and you ain't college, they gotta make an example out you too.
Yeah, that is true. You definitely right about that. A lot of us, when we do, as you say, get this education, we think we're invisible or we're in there now. We're a part of them. You know, we've been
mm-hmm.
accepted, right? So that's you know, that's evidently was his thinking, but he got another thought now. Plenty now. You got a lot to think about now. Because he's finna go to some
mm-hmm.
hell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right,
he sure
yes, he is. So with that, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Just Us Youth Organization is on a mission to help eliminate the term at-risk youth by providing STEM, which means science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and entrepreneurship education through programs that encourage positive social development, increase educational opportunities, and economic security via media outlets. Our innovative TV show, Stay Focused Youth, it's based on youth interviewing STEM professionals and business owners in their work environment. By becoming a youth, adult, or business member of the Just Us Youth Organization, you can receive discounted products and services from 33webs.com. Receive free advertising for your business or organization through our many donation options. Sponsor a student e-portfolio that highlights academic achievement and talent and have your logo displayed on their site as a supporter. As a sponsor, you can be interviewed on Stay Focused Youth TV and you'll receive recognition and logo placement on our website and social media. We also provide a vehicle safety seminar and workshop along with How to Extend Your Car Life book. If you would like to help our youth stay focused and inspired to become future leaders in the STEM and entrepreneurship field, or if you would like to purchase a How to Extend Your Car Life book, please contact the founder and president, Mr. Jonathan Smith, at 242-423-6539 at 701-423-6539. 639-0190 or email him at jesustv33@gmail.com. Find out how to get involved with a student ePortfolio today. Please visit our website at www.jes-us.org.
Thank you, and welcome back to Who Did It to You, Roundtable with Dr. Jones, Brother Maurice, and myself, Sister Pamela. Our brother, Dr. Jones, hasn't got here yet, but hopefully he will make it before the end of the show. But with that, we're going to continue. And for those that would like to call in, make your comment, ask a question, et cetera, the number is 563-999-3682. Push 1 if you would like to make a comment. Thank you so much. Yes, so we've been discussing a number of topics that definitely affect us. And, you know, we have to start thinking a lot more deeply and make conscious decisions. Because if not, we're going to definitely regret them, should I say. Definitely. So with that, Brother Maurice, what were they on your mind? What are your thoughts? I know definitely I really haven't commented on it, this Kanye West thing. I know a lot of people have been talking about the brother. And, you know, I'm like, I want to kind of sometimes sit back and just see what unfolds. So as I said, I haven't really spoken much on that. But what are your thoughts? Do you have any? You know, what would you like to enlighten us with tonight?
Well, you know, about Kanye, I honestly believe that what he said to Trump, I couldn't find nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find anything wrong with it. You know, when he was saying get rid of the amendment, I didn't see nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's something that needs to be done away with. It doesn't have our best interests in the 13th Amendment, because as he was saying, there's that trap door that will get you right back in slavery, you know, and I can't foresee the life of me why people are saying that, you know, it was bad, it was this, it was that, when in reality, there wasn't nothing wrong with it.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have a problem with anything that he said.
You know,
I agree.
Yes, sir. Right. Some of us, I must say, to be honest, I have to go back and really, before I speak on it, you know, listen to it thoroughly or read it, et cetera. So I will not come in at this time. But I would say this, that we, a lot of times, we get so quick to judge without looking a bit deeper at things. That's my humble opinion of it. They claim that T.I. said, you know, what's belittling him for what he did. And then some people think that he should not even be meeting with Trump. But I'm like, this is a free world. If he wants to meet with Trump or whoever wants to meet with Trump, that's their business. People have a right. We may not always, people are going to not like everything I do or everything I say, but hell with them. I mean, it has nothing to do with you. I have my own life to live. Good, bad, or the ugly. You know, and that's where I see it. And, you know, a lot of times, we as a people, we just, to me, we just not, what's the word? I don't even, I can't even get my word. Well, just ignorant, should I say, sometimes. That, you know, let people talk. You know, we have a right to have an opinion, surely. He has the right to say what he wants to say. If he wants to meet with Trump, then he'll meet with Trump. I mean, you know, at least he's talking. Right. And, you know, I mean, with that communication, you know, how is something things going to evolve? First of all, you have to have a conversation. Right. So to me, it's just darn ignorant, you know, to be just so dang judgmental. And who says that you would, the person would do any better if they got the chance to be up there and talk to each other? You know, so that's just my humble opinion of that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, just to be able to look at, I looked at Jim Brown, and I could barely understand what Jim Brown was saying.
Mm-hmm.
I could barely make out what he was saying. And he's in his 80s as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I looked at him and I was like, man, you know, the minister in his 80s too, but we can understand.
Right, Brad. That's great.
You know.
Right.
And
that's true.
Wow.
That's the way you live, the way you think, as a minister just said the other day. We all have to strive to be upright, strive to think right, and strive to do right. Because if we don't, we're only hindering, we're only blocking ourselves. And so that's what we definitely have to learn. So that's why the minister, by Allah's grace, is able to be articulate and beautiful and humble and strong and courageous as he is, because he strives to do things upright and to treat people right. So that's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
You know, I can't speak for the brother, you know, with his, but it's no telling what type of sickness or, you know, things that he's, you know, have to go through or dealing with, you know, so. Yes, sir. But
and when the minister said, you know, it's a lot of to do with that you how you think, that you know
right.
You got to think right, like you were saying, and people don't really realize that how you think plays a big part with how you look and how you feel, because the minister said that the brain was created to think rightly. So if you're thinking wrong, then you're going against the grain. And just like when you're planing a piece of wood and you're going against the grain, you're tearing up the wood. You're making it worse, not making it better. And so, you know, those little principles like that, when we apply it, we make the difference that we make. I think, you know, people really should start paying attention to that, because it really matters. You know, it
yes,
really
it
matters.
Does. You have to, you definitely do. You know, because I see some people, and I thank Allah that he definitely gave me more of the positive than the negative when I'm thinking. You know, if the negative does come in, then I push it away or fight it, you know, but overall, I can't say that. And it's not my doing. It's a large doing, but I do practice of striving to be positive, striving to not allow my emotions to, you know, to allow me to judge something that, you know, I may be judging wrong, you know. So I'm trying to, you know, always be patient to look at in a bigger picture than just in my little, you know, window of thoughts or whatever. And it does help. It does. So with that, definitely we have to, I'm not always jump on the negative when we see or hear things, because we do that too often. And that's why we are in such a condition that we are in, because we always got our mind and the backside instead of our mind up, you know, above and, you know, up positive. And they're just, it's true. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. So with that, we do have enough. Let me make sure that our brother there, let's see if anyone would like to comment before I go to my next article. So let me check the phone line. Let's see, do we have any callers or anybody that would like to get in on this conversation? Okay, if anyone would like to get in on this conversation, then push 1 and we'll definitely bring you right on in. But yes, we have to definitely do better, think better, act better as a people in order for us to take our proper place. We have to. Mm-hmm. And I'm, for one, definitely trying to do that. But we'll do that. I'm not going to say trying. Okay, so with that, let's go to our next article. Once homeless, this black entrepreneur now owns a 20 million trucking company. 34-year-old Amory Ruff had a rough start. Growing up as a teenager, he had to balance studies and work to help his mother make ends meet while moving between homeless shelters. But now, he owns a $20 million trucking company called Sudu that connects underserved entrepreneurs to giant companies such as Walmart and UPS. At the age of 16, his military father left his mother to raise him and his two siblings. They live in homeless shelters. Amory, at one point, had to commute over 4 hours a day to continue attending high school while also working. He eventually landed a job with a company where he negotiated significant enterprise contracts. He helped the business to grow annual revenues of $4.5 million, but was let go from a higher rank than he was promised. He said he didn't expect it. It was really a low time in his life, and this inspired him to become successful, a successful entrepreneur. Amaryse decided to start a telecommunications company in 2010, just with $300 and a 1990 Ford Ranger. However, before long, he managed to grow it into almost 200 trucks and to 5 USA locations. While at it, he also realized that there were bigger opportunities to create a tech company to connect underserved entrepreneurs, minorities, women, and veterans, etc. With larger corporations, he then built his own business to fill the void. In 2015, he launched Sudu, an online marketplace that leverages technology to connect small and medium-sized trucking companies, which makes up 90% of the trucking margin, to major corporations that ship goods. He chose the name Sudu, which is a Chinese word that means speed and tempo, because he says he believes it speaks well to the speed and efficiency they provide the industry through their technology, which is considered as the Uber for truckers. The recognition finally came because of his genius, Amory became in demand to speak at international tech and entrepreneurial conferences. He was invited to address the Nelson Mandela Fellows Panel and build your own conference and retreat. He also started winning major awards, such as 2016 NMTA Minority Business of the Year, the 2017 Georgia Trend Magazine Trendsetter, and 2018 Atlanta Business Chronicle Award. He has even been included in the Ventures Atlanta 10 Top Stores to Watch List, to the Startups Watch List. Within just 3 years, his company, The Do, which is based in Atlanta, Georgia, grew to have more than 300,000 trucking companies within its network, especially minority women and veteran-owned trucking companies. He has also been able to cut deals with large corporations such as Walmart, P&G, Delta Airlines, and Georgia Pacific UPS. For more information about Amory Ruff and his company, Sadoo, visit www.sadoo.io or follow the company on Twitter. All right, what a beautiful story. I want to read that to inspire those who are going through rough times or, you know, I mean, he was homeless, but with determination, and it takes that hard work, because you cannot do anything if you think you're going to be lazy and things going to find you up. I'm telling you, you better get another thinking, because you have to work to make things happen. And it's just the truth. So, you know, I just want to throw that in there. You know, we talk about hard news, you know, and real news. So I just wanted to not put a bit of a lighter, inspirational story in there. So praises be to Allah. That's wonderful. So for those that want something out of life, you have to work. Remember that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm working every day toward my goal, and you have to push. You're going to get a lot of no's sometimes. Yeah, I got about 20 no's the other day when I was selling something. But I won't give up. I will continue. And finally, I'm going to get, you know, if I keep on, there's no doubt that I will be a winner. And with that, I digress. Yes, Brother Maurice, did you want to add something to being a hard worker?
No, definitely. You know, it's something that we got to do. You don't really have a choice. You know, if you want to get something out of this world, you know, you got to be a hard worker. You got to go out there and you got to grind and you got to grind and grind and grind and grind. Because America is built off of competition. And what we got to realize is that, you know, we got to win. We got to beat out others. It's competition. It ain't nothing where you're going to sit back and give it to you. You got to make it happen. You know, you got to make it happen. If you don't make it happen, it ain't going to be done. It ain't going to be done. It ain't going to be done for you. Somebody else will take it and get it done, but you still be in that same old spot 5 years later, wondering why you ain't successful, because you ain't put in what needed to be put in. And that's a problem. That's a real problem. So we definitely have to get out of that and open ourselves up for what is really out there that we can just go in and take a hold of and stop playing games. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Mm-mm. Exactly. You're absolutely right. We have to, as individually, for ourselves, family, you know, and as a people, we're gonna have to work. And that's just the truth. Because our reality will not change until we really work at it and want it. And that's just the truth of it.
Exactly. You know, you gotta go be. I heard Dr. Khaled read this poem about, I think it was saying something like, if niggas wanted revolution like they want the bulls or something. It was about, you know, if they really wanted revolution like they watched the Chicago Bulls or, you know, but I don't actually remember what it was word by word, but it was something like that. You know, then they will go out there and do it. And it's like, come on, man, we can do this thing. You just gotta make it happen. You know, stop sitting back and, you know, woe is me, I can't get this done, I can't get that done. You know, nobody's gonna help me. Shut up, help yourself. You know, help yourself. Get up and show that you can do something. you know,
yes,
all this goddamn wine. You know, it reminds me of what God said to Job when God told Job, you know, shut up, brace yourself, speak to me like you're a man, you know. God was getting tired of that whiny little, you know, conversation. He didn't want to hear that crap. You know, like, shut up.
Yes,
talk to me like a man. Brace yourself. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, for those that, you're absolutely right, Brother Maurice, and I tried to make it, you know, we all may complain here and there, let's be real, but overall, I don't complain. I like, praise God, let's do what we have to do, let's get it going on, because no one wants to hear a complainer all the time. It just absolutely just makes you want to slap them. I'm just going to tell you, just shut the hell up and get up and change your own reality, and that's just the truth of it. So with that, I digress, and yes, sir, and check the line here for those that are online. Please push 1 if you would like to add anything to the conversation. We definitely welcome that. And the number is 563-999-3682. I do want to have a show very soon on GOAT, acquiring GOAT. So I'm getting some information together, and we're going to have a guest or two. You know, some people like GOAT. You know, I don't even have the dollars. But that's the most that Muhammad stated many years ago, that GOAT will be the new currency. And, you know, I see they have a lot of camera bars, they call it, where you can acquire GOAT. And some of it is very cheap. So we all may need to be looking into that type of thing. So definitely I'm going to look into it. So I just wanted to add that. But let me see if no one would like to speak at this moment. Let's find a clip or two, and then we'll come right back with the show. And let's see what we can find. I don't know who all may have heard. The minister was on Sunday. Oh, my God. It was absolutely beautiful for the 23rd Million Anniversary of what we call Atonement, you know, weekend. But really, it's Atonement, you know, not just for the weekend. But definitely a holy day of Atonement, that is. You know, when we have wronged, you know, our God, let's be real here, you know, confess to your God first. And if you wrong someone, you know, that's 8 steps, which I don't have them in front of me. But basically, when you wrong someone, you know, you apologize to them first and foremost. Ask for forgiveness. And then the right thing to do is to try to right your wrong. So therefore, you know, we can be better brothers and sisters to each other. And as a people, with love, you know, to help us to be better. And therefore, we will, you know, be blessed by God even more to succeed and become the type of people that he can be proud of, the type of people that he will elevate, strengthen, and who don't want that? So I would respectfully say that we all should, you know, really, I will post this next time, definitely I will have and read out the 8 steps of Atonement that definitely we as a people need to strive to do. So with that, I will digress for a second and maybe look for a clip if anyone don't have anything. We're waiting on my brother, Dr. Jones, but I think he had other engagements tonight. So we love our brother and hope to hear from him very, very soon. That's looking for a clip to play, just a short clip. So, Brother Maurice, if you want to add anything before I find my clip, then you're definitely welcome.
Yes, ma'am, I do. One thing about the minister talked on Sunday, you know, he talked about R. Kelly, that he sat down and had a conversation with R. Kelly. And, you know, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall in that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that I'm an R. Kelly fan. I've never turned away from him. I've always been an R. Kelly fan. He know how to make music. It ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
Right.
I listened to his song that he did, the I Admit It song, you know, that where he admit the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in that song, he was talking a lot of stuff. I mean, I was like, well, God damn, you know. He talked about, you know, don't having the rights to his music like the minister said. And, you know, he talked about, you know, he can't read. You know, he talked about he has some type of condition. He talked about being sexually abused. He talked about, you know, having sex with one of his friend's wife in the truck. I mean, he talked about the parents bringing their children, bringing their daughters to him, you know, and they were like, none of them was underage. They were age appropriate, but the parents brung them to me and set them there and knew what the deal was. So he's like, you know, if the parents didn't just bring them, why are you getting mad at me? You know, the parents brung them thinking they were going to get something and they didn't get what they wanted. Now they want to complain, you know. And like that dude, I saw his interview when, you know, in Atlanta, and, you know, my daughter is kidnapping this house and all that bullshit, and I'm listening to this dude. And I'm like, dude, you just seem fake, you know. He just his whole delivery, everything about it just didn't make sense to me. You know, it just didn't, and I watched the interview like 3 or 4 times. Or his little press conference, I should call it that, because the reporters was asking him questions. He couldn't even answer the question. He couldn't even answer the question. You know, just like, come on, dude. You got to come better than that. You know, you got to come better than this. And then when, you know, some of the girls that were in the house came out, and, you know, and they writing books and making money and, you know, telling all the little secrets. I mean, it's like, Lord have mercy. You know, the stuff that they say, you don't know whether it's true or not true. But from what they have said that was done, you know, it's not nothing illegal. You know, it ain't illegal, but goddamn, you know.
Right.
You know, like, wow. You know, maybe you should have kept that behind doors, you know. Behind doors. And they think, and this is one of the things that really pisses me off. The people come out and tell it, right? And then they tell it, and people look at them like, oh, you all good. Wait a minute, this was just the same person that was in the house doing all this stuff. And now because this person come out, and they gonna tell all, and they wrote their book, and they before they got in the house, they signed the non-disclosure agreement. Now, because they can make more money, they out of the house now to make more money, and people look at them as the victim. They know, Van, they not a victim. What the hell are you talking about? They're not a victim. They're not. And but they look at these people like, oh, she's a victim. Fuck out of here. She ain't no damn victim. She ain't no victim. She's a damn entrepreneur who's writing books to make money off of his foolishness.
That's
what it is. Ain't no damn victim. They let him get away with that foolishness.
Yes, and you're right. He definitely did speak of him. And by the way, for those that missed it, I would humbly ask you to listen to him. It was absolutely beautiful. He talked about the sacredness of a woman. And yes, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. I'm with that 100%. You know, he talked about, and hit on a lot of subjects. So it's on www.noi.org on his Facebook. Yes, with the R. Kelly situation, as he mentioned, you know, R. Kelly, yes, like anyone else, he has faults. We all do, you know, and we tend to, you know, just throw a person away when we see that, you know, when they've been, when their wrong's been publicized, let's be real. Yes, he has responsibility, let's be real, which we have to grow, and he have to right those wrongs, and the ones, the younger women, they have to, you know, right their wrongs too, because it takes two. If you didn't take it, you gave it to them, just be real in here, or sold it to them, or however you want to say it, then they're responsible. They're responsible too, but also, you know, may the brother get some help too, because like I said, we all have to do better to be in God's grace, and that's just the truth of it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for myself or anyone else. We have to strive to do better and to treat, you know, each other better, and that's just the truth. So with that, I think good. But, you know, a lot of people are won't want it when they, you know, see celebrities, and, you know, with his type of money or his fame, you know, and you just can't go call it wolf when you put yourself out there either. You have responsibility. So it goes both ways. It goes both ways. We as women have to take accountability and responsibility for the things we do and how we allow men to treat us. You have to have respect for yourself, sweetie, if you want to be respected. And that's just the God's honest truth. So if you want to be respected, learn to, you know, respect yourself. You know, hopefully, you know, you will find a brother to respect you, if you, but most of the time, they are not, because they haven't been taught right, et cetera, et cetera. So it goes on and on. You have to think about it. If you have daughters, too, would you want somebody to abuse them? I don't think so. So you have to think twice on that, too. And that's just my opinion. But women also, you have to think twice and teach your babies also how to respect themselves. So we all have a responsibility. Ability. We just can't be pointing fingers at each other. Turn that finger around and point it at yourself. And let's all strive to do better. And so with that, this is kind of a digression. And I'm going to play a bit we were talking earlier of the young man, I don't know what's his name, who a college student was accused of raping two white girls, or two white women, because they were of age, from my understanding. So I'm just going to play a bit. It's just about a 4-minute clip of, I believe, when it made share. It was on interracial. I think the Miller said did a Farrakhan interracial marriage. So we're going to try to play a bit of that and come right back.
Black man. While you were on the plantation, I don't know how you thought, but it must have been something looking at that white woman. Smelling so sweet. Your woman smelling nasty because she been in the field picking cotton all day. And you looking at Miss Ann with thoughts. Thoughts. And if Miss Ann's dress was on the clothesline, you better not sneak up to the clothesline and peek under. There's a lynching party for you. Now, God don't want you intermarrying with them.
Well, yeah.
Let me be very clear now. Well, just a minute, Farrakhan. My mother is white. Yes, may God bless you, because I will never tell you to disrespect your mother or your father if he's white. But the fact is that God wanted us to be to ourselves, us with our woman. He respected white people who wanted to keep their race white. Because we sure want to keep ours from being any further mongrelized. We want our black woman. And our black woman is so beautiful. We got black women that are black as the ace of spades, but beautiful. We got them brown, we got them tan, we got them yellow, we got them high yellow. What the hell do we need to go for a white woman for? But I understand. White people have allowed their woman to get in your bed. And they started it very clever. See, Hollywood is really the enemy. Guess who's coming to dinner? In those days, for Sidney Poitier, beautiful black brother, gradually sneaking up. Then General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, As the World Turns. Now we got black and white sleeping together. Oh, yeah. And we're so happy. Heaven is right at hand now. But you don't see, this is Delilah. Tricking Samson to keep you from the promise of God.
Well, there you have it. Take it and leave it alone, as we often say in the nation of Islam. And that's why Bill Cosby is going through the hell that he's going through, because he chose to mess with those white women, the OJs, who else? A number, and there will be more, because black men love the white woman, and she's not originally for you. You've got a choice. You can do what you want to do, or you can suffer the consequences. We do have one more clip on that same subject. I believe it's by Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad, if I'm not mistaken. But it's about 4 minutes. So we'll listen to that, and we'll come back on race mixing.
Take people to move in the neighborhoods, but clean their own neighborhoods. And another thing, when you say integration, it comes under intermarriage too, right? All
right,
been together.
Right, sure.
And I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind, want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters, and in return introducing their grandchildren as half brown, kinky haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people.
And
no, it's just
what I'm trying to say is this. What I'm trying to say is this. You don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't gonna have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that. But
that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you. You see.
Yeah, we're much different.
I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know, we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all listen. Blue birds fly with blue birds. Red birds want to be a red bird. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me when I'm wrong.
Well, we must.
They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right? Buzzers are with buzzers. buzzards with buzzards, bluebirds with bluebirds. They all are birds, but they've got different cultures. The eagles like to hang out in the mountains. The buzzards like to fly around the desert.
Well,
the bluebird like to fly around the trees and the grass.
There'd be certain problems, a buzzard mating with a sparrow, wouldn't there?
What?
There'd be certain...
Right, right. And we have the problems, too.
I don't see
no black and white couples in England or America walking around proud holding their children.
That's because society...
And then going out.
That's society's fault. We've got to educate people around it.
Well, life is too short for me to be raised catching hell for something like that. I'd rather go and be my own. I have a beautiful daughter, beautiful wife. They look like me. We're all happy, and I don't have no trouble. And I ain't that much in love with no woman to go through all that hell. Ain't no one woman that good. You understand?
I understand, yeah. I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. Chinese love Chinese. They love the little slanted-eyed, pretty brown-skinned babies. Pakistanis love their culture. Jewish people love their culture. A lot of Catholics, they want to marry a number of Catholics. They want the religion to stay the same. Who want to spot up yourself and kill your race? You're a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair.
Yeah?
Number one, can't no woman. Listen, no woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. And you can't take no Chinese man and give him no Puerto Rican woman and holler about we're in love and you're emotionally in love and physically, but really they're not happy because she's going to hear some Puerto Rican music, he's going to hear some Chinese music, and they're going to be clashing all the time. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. Any white woman in this audience today, any white man in this audience today, in their right minds, don't want little black boys and little black, white black girls coming around your homes, schools, and churches looking to marry your sons and daughters and in return introducing your grandchildren as little half-brown, kinky-haired Negro children. No intelligent black man in this audience, no intelligent black woman in this audience won't little white boys and little white girls coming to marry their sons and daughters and in return introducing your grandchildren as little half-white, green-eyed, blonde-haired Negroes. We are not seeking to lose our identity in blood mixing and our beautiful black African history. We don't hate you. We don't hate those of you who are white. We just want to stay.
I was mistaken. It wasn't the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. It was Muhammad Ali speaking on race and race mixing, and you know that he definitely disagreed with that. And it comical with it, but nevertheless, it's truth. And myself, I mean, you know, that's what I was thinking. You know, why would you not want your baby to look like you, you know, like I say, you know, to each his own. But I have, you know, cousin, and the baby is, oh my God, she's so different from her mother. And I'm like, you know, if you didn't know that was a baby, you would think she's a totally different child that belongs to someone else, because she definitely looks like the white side of the family. And to me, you know, for two people supposed to be true that love can live past all that, you know, if they really are, you know, if they really are, okay. But most of the time, from my experiences, black people go with white people, have interrelationship with them because they do not have self-love. They're looking for
that's
it in white people. And that's when the problem comes in. That's when the whole problem comes in. Because you are not being yourself. You're putting yourself down, your mother, your you know, just your people. And you have a sickness
when it comes like that, because it's not true love. That's a false love. And as your brother stated, emotionally. So like I said, that's true love that you have found, you know, white, whatever color. Then okay, praise be to Allah. But most of the time, it's not true love. You're looking at that white person because you feel she's some type of godness or above your own woman, and you come to find out most of the time that, and sometimes maybe with your life, unfortunately, that you was wrong because God do not want us to mix with them, not like in that way. And just because you love God, says who says God says love everybody, and in that particular way, anyway. No, thank you, but to each his own. No, we all have our own opinion. If that's what you want to do, then, hey, you have a consequence. So with that, I digress, Brother Maurice.
Well, you know, I'm definitely against any of that foolishness because, as you said, you know, if you're out doing that, then you don't love your race, you don't love your people, mm-hmm. and you don't love yourself. Because you don't have no self-esteem, you get out there and you be with the enemy. That just don't even make common sense to me. Ain't no way whatsoever. And, you know, when Muhammad Ali broke it down into nature,
red birds,
black birds, eagles don't go with the pigeons. You know, that's real. That's real. Mm-hmm. God never intended for you to be integrated and being with other people that's not like yourself. He never intended that for us. But, you know, when you be amongst the devil, then you want to roll like the devil. And you're thinking that you're really getting somewhere, but you're not getting nowhere positive. You're going backwards, not forward. And we as a people, we forever keep going backwards because we're not learning the things that we need to learn. And understanding the things that we need to understand. Because some of us think that this is a game. You know, they think that this is a game. And this is not a game. This is real life. With real life consequences. With real life rewards. So we got to begin to do the things that's right. And stop doing the things that's wrong. I mean, anytime we just had another black elected official, she quit her post because, you know, she didn't vote the way that the Jews and stuff wanted her to vote. So they start calling her at home, giving her death threats. So she's like, the hell with that, you know, and quit her job as an elected official because of that.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. But we think everything is fun and games and everything is a joke. This is real life. It ain't no joke. You gotta get it together.
Yeah, they can get it together or not, you know, and I'm gonna keep it real. You know, you have consequences, and as the message is often, you know, he's our warner to all black people. As he stated Sunday, you can take it or you can leave it alone. But I'm taking it, and I'm taking it all. And Master Farah came to give us these teachings to wake us before, you know, these consequences happen to us. But so many of us aren't listening to it, and that's why we are being in prison. That's why we are being murdered, et cetera, because we won't take heed to the open enemy. And they're just two things. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So what's that?
And, you know, it's like, you know, I had gave a talk about life and death and your our rights that we have as people. And, you know, some of our people, as the minister said, it's so... You know, you have the right to pursue happiness. But it says some of you so dumb that you're happy that you're pursuing your own death and you don't even realize it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you're happy pursuing this foolishness and not realizing that that's death that you're pursuing. You know, you don't even understand what you're doing. And so, you know, like I said yesterday on Brother Anthony's program, you know, we got to mature up and look at this stuff for real, of what's going on and how it's going on and what it is that we need to do and what can we do. Because if we continue to move like this, the enemy going to piece us apart. He's going to continue to piece us apart. And it's just that simple. So somebody at some point, you got to say, you know, are you happy with what you're doing? Is this what you want to continue to do? You know, and mm-hmm. one thing is sure, you know, we working on this Mississippi project, and man, we got people sending in applications every day to be a part of this project. And, you know, so it's a good thing that we're trying to get people in proper places to get them up and moving so we can make this thing happen. Because our people is ready. They're ready, and these are the serious people. These ain't the ones that's still out there drinking and hoeing and all that foolishness. These are the people who are serious about what's to do and what's next. So, you know, it is definitely enlightening. It is definitely enlightening to see that our people are responding. And they're definitely responding. So when Brother Miko get on, then he'll be happy to see that we've gotten more people aboard. Okay.
Yes. Okay, to make sure that we don't have any callers, but I'm going to have to go a little bit earlier tonight. But I will check the calls and make sure if anyone would like to speak before we close. Going once, going twice. If anyone is on and would like to speak at this time, you may push one and I will bring you in. If not, thank you so much for listening. And give you about 10 seconds to press that one. But if you care not to talk, that's fine too. Thank you for joining us. And please come again. Okay, I don't think anyone wants to talk at this time. But nevertheless, thank you all. It's been great. Brother Maurice, peace and love to you and all of this listeners. And with that, peace and love. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Peace and blessing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.